Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Take your Bible tonight. I want you to go to James chapter number 4. James chapter number 4 tonight. And I want to give you some thoughts. I think I need to preface this a little bit tonight with why I'm kind of preaching on what I'm preaching on tonight. And for this reason tonight, I have been burdened for the last, and I guess it's been, Miss Wendy, probably for 2 months I know of, every Sunday, I have been burdened about the condition of the church in our day. But what I'm really burdened about is the area of revival. I'm burdened about a drawing back to God. I'm convinced that we've got to get hungry again. I'm convinced that we have got to get thirsty again. That we've got to get to the place where we say, God, we want you. And that's my burden. And so that's kind of the burden I've come with tonight. And if you're here tonight and maybe you feel just a little bit distant from the Lord, it's not that you're out living in gross sin. It's not that you're trying to live a life. But you know, life can get in the way. I mean, things can get in the way. Our jobs and raising children and going through all the things you go through. And it can get in the way. And sometimes if we're not careful, we begin to not draw as close to God as we really need to in our lives. That's been a burden of mine in our church for about 2 months. I'm glad I've been seeing people begin to draw to the Lord. Amen. And so look at just a couple of verses. I'm not going to preach long tonight. Lord willing, you'll be out of here by 10 or 11. But I want to give you just a, y'all still with me? You'll be out of here most likely by around 8 o'clock if you act like you're enjoying it. Amen. But if you don't act like you're enjoying it, I'm going to preach 15 more minutes to aggravate you. All right? So act like you enjoyed it. Chapter 4, verse number 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. I want you to look at the phrase, draw nigh to God. I want to preach a few minutes tonight on this thought, an approachable God. An approachable God. I appreciate the good song tonight. My brother, you and your family, and they were singing in one of those songs. They were talking about Buddha's in the grave. He's wrapped up and dead. Others are dead. But I'm glad I serve a God who's alive and well. And I'm glad tonight that he's approachable. Amen. All right. Let's bow together and pray. Father, I want to thank you tonight, Lord, for this wonderful, wonderful number of folks on a Monday night. Lord, Easter weekend just ending. Lord, they're here tonight on a Monday night in the house of God. Lord, every time I talk to their pastor, I hear the things that you are doing here. And Lord, I rejoice with them. Lord, I just rejoice of what you're doing at Amazing Grace Baptist Church. And I thank you tonight for all that you're doing here. Lord, I pray you'll bless this man of God, his precious wife, his children. And Lord, I pray you'll touch this ministry, God, that it can do more for the glory of God. Lord, I pray tonight, Lord, help us to draw close to you. Help us, God, to get our heart's desire to draw close to you. Lord, we realize that you never move. Lord, if we are distant at all from you, it is not because, Lord, you have moved, but Lord, somewhere down the line, we have moved in our lives. And Lord, I pray that we'll draw nigh to you this evening. We ask it all in Christ's name, and all God's people said, amen. And listen, I know a lot of you tonight may feel like that you may need to draw nigh to God. Well, I'm going to leave Miss Hazelup out of the message tonight because she had the privilege of riding with me up here in a car that's a little different than normally I drive to meetings, all because of these roads down here. And so about halfway through them roads, I heard a voice from heaven singing, "Nearer, my God, to thee." And I found out it wasn't a voice from heaven. It was my wife sitting in the seat beside of me. And so she's already prayed up and ready. Amen. But I want you tonight to understand that you and I need to draw nigh to God. Listen, there are many things in our day that are unapproachable. I think about presidents and kings. Listen, if I wanted to see Joe Biden, and I really don't, but if I did, or if I wanted to see a president of this nation, or I wanted to go to England and I wanted to see the king, I would not be permitted to approach them. I could not just walk in to where they are, and I could not approach them. Why? Because of their status. I think about stars and athletes and how that many of them are so unapproachable. They live behind iron gates, and they have many security and others. I even think about sometimes even the doctor's not approachable. Amen? And you can't hardly get to them. I had some issues with a hiatal hernia and found out you got to wait months to get in to have these tests done. Sometimes that's not someone that is approachable. But I want you to understand this. I'm glad tonight that 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, I'm glad that I have a God. I mean, it's bigger than any president. It's bigger than any king. It's bigger than any star or athlete in this world. And yet I can approach him 24 hours a day. How many of you are glad of that? In the midnight hour, I can approach him. Listen, he's always near. It doesn't matter how much money I have. It doesn't matter how much prestige I have. You got to understand, I can approach God anytime in my life. Amen. Now listen, man cannot keep me from him. Satan cannot keep me from him. He will try hard, but he cannot keep me from him. I'm glad, thank God, that he's ever near in my life. Now, I want to say this tonight, and I want you to get a hold of this. I told our people this, and I had our guys put this up on a screen in our church, and I believe this. Listen to this. I am as spiritual as I want to be. I am as spiritual as I want to be. You say, preacher, what do you mean by that? Here's what I mean by that tonight. If I want to be close to God, if I want to be what I need to be for the Lord, God will allow me to do that. I can draw nigh to God. I can come nigh to God. And so I say tonight to everyone in this auditorium, we all are as spiritual as we want to be. If we're not close to God, it's not God's fault, but it's our own. If I feel any time in my life like I'm not close to the Lord, I promise you it's not God's fault. It's Brother Chris's fault. Somewhere in my life, I've got sidetracked. Somewhere in my life, I've got my mind off the Lord. Somewhere in my life, I've got where I'm not where I need to be with him. But I want to say this tonight. Oh, for those sweet times. Oh, for those wonderful times when I say, Lord, I want to draw close to you. I want to have sweet fellowship with you. I want to enjoy your presence in my life. Amen. The songwriter said it well, nearer my God to thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord. Listen, when we draw near to God, I'm just giving you a few things, I'll give you the thought. When we draw near to God, we are strengthened. I believe that. I believe the closer I am to the Lord, the stronger I am as a child of God. When we draw near to God, we are supplied. Can I tell you this? I heard about that offering, that $57,000 and that one penny that our brother Alan Barker gave. And when I heard about that offering tonight and I think about it, hey, when we draw nigh to God, we are supplied. You know why God blesses Amazing Grace Baptist Church? You know why God blesses your pastor and the leadership here? It's because you've made up your mind. You're not just coming to a church service. You're not just showing up. But listen, if you're going to take a Monday night and you're going to come to the house of God, you might as well try to draw close to the Lord and ask God to help you. And when you do that, he supplies the needs. I believe also when we draw nigh to God, not only are we strengthened and supplied, but I believe that we're settled. Oh, yes. When we draw nigh to God, He gives us a settled peace in our life. When we draw nigh to God, all of a sudden in our life, we have this sweet peace and we know that where we need to be. All I'm trying to say is this. There are no shortcuts on getting near to God. There are no shortcuts. He will not turn us away. He will welcome us, but we have to be willing to draw nigh to Him. Amen. And I will say this tonight. I believe the reason that we are not seeing revival like we need to see it is because we're just not drawing nigh to God like we ought to be. And I know, you know, I think about sometime, and I preach about every, well, about close to about every week of my life. I know I do in my church like your little pastor does, and then traveling a little bit about it. We preach a lot, and sometimes you give out and you go. Sometimes you're in the ministry and you're doing ministry things, and all of a sudden you realize, I'm busy, but I'm not drawing near to God. I'm busy, but I'm not drawing near to God. And you realize that personal relationship is so important in your life, and we have to draw near to the Lord. But I want you to understand this. The child of God, to draw near to God involves several things. And I want to give them to you tonight that I want you to see. Number one, now watch this. It involves desire. It involves desire. In John chapter 12, verse 21, the Bible says, the same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Can I give you this tonight? It's got to be our desire. My wife constantly gets on me because as a preacher, as a pastor of a church, I constantly want people to do better. I want them to be more faithful. And sometimes I lose sleep over it. Sometimes I think about it gives me a stomach ulcer as I want people to be better. And finally, she'll look at me and she'll say, Chris, you've got to understand, they're going to be as close to God as they want to be. You cannot make them love Jesus. Amen. Isn't that the truth tonight? If you think about it tonight, it involves desire. Charles Wesley said this statement. What a powerful statement. He said, Thou, O Christ, are all I want. Amen. I'll be honest with you. Charles Wesley was a whole lot more of a spiritual man than probably this preacher standing before you tonight. Because I'm going to tell you the truth. I wonder what we would be like if our hearts desire. Amen. I mean, listen, I'm preaching to the cream crop. I know I'm preaching. Mainly this is church family, right? Preaching for the most part. And I'm preaching tonight. But I want you to understand something with me tonight, if you would. I want you to get a hold of this. You put your family in the car. You load it up from the house. Some of you worked jobs today. I don't know if the young people are in school, they're out. They may be out. But you've done things in your life today. This day in your life, you have been busy. But you know what? Tonight, you knew you were having church. And so you got your family, and you got in the car, and you came to the house of God. There are probably some here tonight. They've not even made supper yet. Maybe got home late from work and grabbed something after church. But you want to make sure you got here. Why? Because you have a heart to be in the house of God. But friend, listen, it doesn't do us any good if we come to church and we just sit and we don't really have a desire and a hunger and a thirst for the things of God. Ask the Lord tonight, God, let me have a thirst for the things of God. Listen, what does it take to draw nigh to God? What does it take to be at that place you need to be with God? It takes or involves desire. It involves desire. And I want to say it again tonight. I can be as spiritual as I want to be. Understand that tonight. It is a desire. Oh, listen. I love to watch people come in church. And when they come in church, they mean business. Amen. They mean business. I mean, when they come in, it's not about who's there, whose hand they're going to shake. It's not about this, that, the other. But they walk in them doors with a desire. You got to understand tonight, somebody went through something today. Somebody's been through a hardship. Somebody in their life today needed something from church tonight. And so you come in with a desire to get something from God. Amen. So I want to say tonight we have an approachable God. What I mean by that, it involves desire. It involves desire. I want to ask you tonight, do you desire the presence of the Lord? Do you desire that? I mean, can I tell you, there's nothing like being in His presence. Amen. I mean, Brother Barker, when you just desire it. What, when you just say, Lord, I want your presence. I want to be in your presence. How many times, our brother Jonathan, we come to church on a Sunday morning and say, God, we just want to be in your presence. We want you to show up. We want you to show up with power. We want to be in your presence. Number two, it involves discipline. The Bible says, draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh to you. It involves discipline. I live tonight with a very disciplined lady. Sometimes I am amazed at how disciplined she is in her life. I'm telling you, when you know somebody and they are so disciplined in their life that things are going to be done. Now, sometimes I think it gets borderline with OCD. But I'm talking about discipline in your life. I'm talking about spiritual discipline in your life. Say, preacher, what do you mean? Listen, when we get to the place where we discipline ourselves about certain things, we can draw nigh to God. Listen to this. We must be disciplined to read and pray. Amen. Boy, don't we get so busy. Let's be honest tonight. Life is busy, right? And we get so busy. And listen, when you get busy, sometimes the things that we struggle with are praying and reading the Word of God. But do you realize the greatest way to draw close to God is to do those things? The greatest way to fellowship with God is to do those things. When you got saved, you got in a relationship. When I got married, I got in a relationship. Miss Wendy and I have a relationship. But that time we talk, that time that we spend together, that's not relationship. That is fellowship. And you and I have to have a strong fellowship with the Lord. Amen. Oh, yes, we must be disciplined to read and pray. Listen to this. We must be disciplined to congregate. In other words, we need to be disciplined to go to the house of God. Amen. Listen, I'm not going to preach to the choir saying this tonight, but I want to say something to you tonight. I am so disappointed sometimes in how people treat the house of God. I am. Amen. I mean, listen, I'm all for vacations. Don't y'all get quiet on me here. I'm all for all those things. I have a problem with those. But when you start spending more time away from church than you do in church, you're going to be losing that relationship and being close to the Lord. You say, oh, but preacher, we watch online. Listen, I'm going to tell you this. You can watch online all you want to watch online, but it's just not the same as being around the saints of God and the presence of God. We learned that, didn't we? We learned that during COVID. Right? Well, we found out how important church was during COVID, did we not? I remember everybody coming up to me during COVID. My people, and I remind them of this. They come up to me during COVID. Brother Chris, boy, when we get back in church like we need to get back in. You know, we're having service outside like a lot of people. Oh, when we get back in church, preacher, I hope we just stay in our all day. That lasted for about 2 weeks. Amen. I miss church so bad, preacher, I can't wait to get back. That same crowd goes on 3 vacations a month. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you saying? Here's what I'm saying. We got to get disciplined about the things of the Lord. Got to get disciplined about church, about congregating. Amen? Don't you believe that tonight? Now, I tell you, I'm preaching fast. I ain't got one more point. Y'all keep smiling. All right? Listen, I'm not here. I'm not like Pharaoh. I'll let you go, but you've got to listen to me. Now watch. We have an approachable God. We need to draw nigh to Him. Amen. We need in our lives to say, Lord, we have a hunger for You. I do not advocate the book or whatever the word is. I don't endorse the book. You would probably not even know about this book. But back years ago when I was pastoring in Burlington, you got to think how long ago that was. I've been in Calvary working on 22 years, so it's before that. But we got a real burden for revival. And I found a book. It was not by, you know, don't hold this against me, but it was not by an independent Baptist. You know, there are other people, I think, probably going to be there besides us. Wouldn't you agree with that? I ain't sure a whole lot of input. Never mind. But anyway, but I want you to understand this. The book was entitled God Chaser. Now, again, I do not agree with everything I read in it, but when I go to Bojangles, which is my favorite chicken place, I don't eat the bone. I eat the meat. But now everybody can't do that. Right? If I gave it to my dog, she would eat all of it. So everybody can't do that. So I don't invite you, but anyway, and don't go look it up and go get it because some of us you probably wouldn't even like. But it was called God Chaser. And my assistant pastor who's still with me now, and we got that book, and the man had a great thought. He said, I wonder what would happen to us if we came to church every time and we were just chasing after God, the Spirit of God. We got to get a hold of God. Sort of like the woman that had to touch His garment. I got to get to Him. I have got to get to Him. Amen. You ever came to church desperate? You ever came to church and it didn't matter that day who was there? It didn't matter that day a lot of things. You just knew when you came, man, I got to get a hold of Jesus. Amen. What about that desire, that desperation we ought to have? Hey, and the book was entitled God Chaser, and I learned in my life, I began to learn we got to chase after Him. Last week, I preached a youth revival down at Southport. I was there Thursday and Friday night this past week. And the young man that I preached that meeting for, and I'm sure you guys probably know him, but the young man I preached that for, his name is Brother Rodney Cox, and he pastors Sunrise Baptist Church, and it's there in Southport. If you're ever down there on vacation, go to Sunrise Baptist Church. You won't regret it. But anyway, why don't you listen to me? I met Brother Rodney when he was 16. Matter of fact, Brother Rodney was coming to our church visit when he was 16. Brother Rodney got saved. His brother Craig, who's a pastor now, got saved. His family members got saved. His father-in-law got saved. His brother-in-law got saved. I think there's probably 15 out of that family that got right with God. We had had a revival meeting. We were begging God to do something great in our church. We just needed it. And that meeting went on for a couple weeks, and it was powerful. It was so powerful that visitors were coming in off the road driving by into the building that didn't. And y'all, you experienced somewhat of this a few years ago in that wonderful book that this dear lady had wrote about what God did in the Foothills meeting and how all the it just happened. Brother Rodney, 16 years old. He hadn't been saved long. But I could tell right off the bat there was something different about him. One night we had a service, and I mean it was one of them holy hush. It was just a powerful service. That service ended that night, and after it ended that night, Brother Rodney, everybody had left. I was still in the auditorium, a couple of people, 16 years old, started walking around the building on the inside, and all he said for a solid hour was hallelujah and glory to God for an hour. For an hour. He never looked back. He never walked back. He never stepped back. My wife will tell you, if you get around him now, he's one of the sweetest Christians you'll ever meet. Preach the paint off the wall. He loves God. He loves the Lord. He's doing a work down there that nobody else has been able to do in that church. Why? Because he made up his mind, I'm going to get as close to God as I possibly can. And he made his mind up at 16 years old. I believe in salvation by grace. It takes place the moment you get saved. And I also believe this. I believe the Holy Ghost comes to live inside of you when you get saved. And I'll just add this. I do not believe a Christian can be demon-possessed, because you can't have the Spirit of God living in the body of a child of God. So that crowd's preaching that today are false prophets. Amen. But I want you to understand this and listen to this tonight. And I believe this with all my heart. I believe tonight. Let me just stop there and just go back and just say this. I believe we can be as spiritual, and I'm just going to say it again, as we want to be. Amen. But I do believe this. When you get saved, that's a great work of God in your life. But I think there comes a time in everybody's life when they get to a place of surrender. Oh, I know we got saved. That's the ultimate of giving our life to Christ and being saved, being washed in the blood of Christ. But I'm talking about a time somewhere in your life where you throw your hands up and say, Lord, I give you my life. I give it all to you. Amen. Let me give you a third thing. Look at it. It involves desire. It involves, listen, it involves discipline. But then thirdly, and according to our text that I read tonight, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. It involves determination. Resist the devil. Amen. I had somebody tell me one time, preacher, I don't know what's wrong with you. The devil never bothers me. If he's not bothering you, this is an old statement, but if he's not bothering you, you're probably not bothering him. Now, I don't know, and stay with me here, this is not bad theology. I don't know that the devil himself has ever bothered me. Because the devil is not omnipresent. He's not omnipotent. He cannot be everywhere at the same time. He's not God. But all them angels that fail, them demons, them rascals aggravate. Can I get some help? Y'all know what I'm talking about. You don't believe that, you try to live for God and watch it. You try to sell out for God and watch it. But you know what I'm glad of tonight? Well, y'all help me right here. I'm glad that greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. And I'm glad tonight if I'll draw nigh to him and I'll get determined, the devil cannot stop God from moving in my life. Amen. I can say a whole lot more tonight because y'all easy to preach to, but I'm not. We say we want to be like Jesus. How many tonight would love to be like Jesus? Wouldn't you like to be like him in the sense of his life living on this earth? Here's what Jesus said. I always do the will of my Father. I hear people come to me all the time, preacher, I want to be like Jesus. I said, all right, you want to be like Jesus? Yes, pastor, I want to be like Jesus. I say, all right, then you do the will of the Father. Determination. I want to ask you something tonight. We just had a couple nights here. You had a tremendous Sunday yesterday. And you've been in some... Being around the presence of God is not new to you folks. You know what that's like. But I want to ask you a question. When you came in here tonight, just be honest, do you feel like you need to draw closer in some area of your life to the Lord? I have people come all by me a lot of time with our teenagers in our church and our youth in our church, and they'll say, preacher, they're good kids. And I'll say something like this, I don't want them good. I want them godly. I just don't want them good. I want them godly. You know what godliness comes from? A desire to seek him. Amen.